Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes?
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for December 3rd, 2011. It's my great pleasure today to be interviewing Patricia Corey, and she's just back from an experience there at Egypt with a group of people that she guided into the pyramid, was the only group to be able to go in. She's got an amazing story there. I'm speaking to her in Rome right now via Skype. Patricia, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for being on Cosmic Love today.
Well, thank you for having me back, Chris.
And I'm just in awe with all I've been hearing about and reading about what different groups trying to get in the Great Pyramid. One video I saw about a guy and a research team in Europe that had been trying to get in for some time, and they've been doing ground radar research, you know, around the base of the Sphinx's paw and all the underground terrain that's around the pyramid, and they weren't able to get in, but your group actually got to go in. How many of you got to go in?
We were 50 people, and I've got quite a little story about that, if you'd like me to elaborate.
I'd love to hear that. Please do.
All righty. Well, what happened is that because of 11/11, a number of spiritual groups at the last minute decided to block private access visits on 11/11 in the pyramid. And because I knew I wanted to be in there over a year ago, I had secured space for 11/11 for my group, which was 50 people this year. And many other New Age groups and spiritual groups also blocked space. So they made the exception at the Department of Antiquities, and they, for the first time that I know of, booked back-to-back visitors in groups into the pyramid. Usually they only allow two in a day, and they're very, very fussy about that. So it was as if they were like taking advantage of the fact that there were all these requests, and we do pay a lot of money to get in there. And so they had a number of groups booked. And what happened, and I don't know what you've heard, but I was there on the scene, is that a rumor started with an article in the Cairo Daily News that there was a Masonic group that planned to go in there and activate the Merkaba field around the pyramid, and that at some point they were planning to go in and commit suicide in an act of whatever.
Good
which, of course,
grief.
It did not ring true to any of us there. We just had the feeling that this was their excuse for closing down the pyramid, whatever the pressure was.
Yeah, there was a lot of hubbub about the 11/11 event, and I remember reading several different things and seeing one YouTube video about this. So it might have been just that they just didn't want to overbook it or have too many people there, crowd control or whatever. Yeah, you just don't know.
Well, what we think is that there was some pressure from the local people because it's politics time. There is as you know, they just had their election in Egypt. And there was definitely a clash between different interests that didn't want, they politicized the whole 11/11 event.
Right.
So my group was pretty disappointed, and I said, all right, look, we are spiritual warriors, and the timing of when we get in the pyramid, it would have been nice in 11/11, but what we need to do now is refocus our minds and energy, and we will be there anyway, spiritually, energetically. We're there. We don't have to be physically there. So we did this really, really powerful meditation where we threw a protective field around the pyramid because there was so much going on that was negative. And we know we were focused on the fact that the pyramid is really the epicentral grid point on this beautiful planet.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be very protected. And for that reason, I'm quite sure the next morning, all of the people that were trying to get in 11-11 were trying to then get in on 12-12. 12-11, sorry. We went in the morning, and there was a big disturbance because the police tried to stop us from going in, and then they threatened that we had to get out immediately or they would take us to jail. And it was really a big brouhaha.
Wow.
But we did, yeah, we got in, and we had a two-hour session in working with the energies there. And when we got out, they closed it again.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we were the only ones to. I did hear that later in the day, I think another group might have gotten in, but it's never been confirmed. And
yeah.
So I really feel that we were very honored to be the ones that got in that two-day frame. In other words, they opened it up and closed it up again.
Yeah.
And we stuck in. So that was very powerful.
I believe that pure intention can move mountains. If, you know, it can really is really amazing in what it can do, especially in a group mandala that where there's, you know, oneness. If pure intention, you know, and it's multiplied, you know, by the number of people, you know, the same energy.
We had this was really a remarkable group of people, really, really old souls, and we were connected so powerfully. But I'm quite sure that it was the meditation that we did that opened the gates for us, because it was about protecting the pyramid and bringing that energy around the globe. It was and connecting to other sites around the world, because I had put out a call to people to link in with us. So we had Avebury, Stonehenge, Easter Island, all the sacred airs rock in Australia. We had people all over the world tuning in with us.
Wow.
It was quite a powerful day.
I mean, once I went with a lady who had shamanistic gifts, and it was cloudy, and you just barely see the moon back behind the clouds, and she says, "Watch this." She took her finger and she circled where the moon was behind the clouds. You know, it was like hazy, just basically see the hazy. The clouds cleared out all around the moon. I'm not kidding. I actually saw this. It completely blew my mind. I said, "How did you do that?" And she goes, "Pure intention."
Yeah. I was once with a shaman in the Mayan, in the jungles of Palenque, and my a brother shaman who I work with when I bring groups there. And he took me up to the lost temple of the Maya, which is another story, a long story. But it was rainy season, and there is a certain serpent in this part of the world that I cannot remember the name of, which will kill you dead on arrival within 45 seconds of being bit.
Wow.
So threw all my fears away, and I followed him up to this unbelievable hidden temple right out of Indiana Jones.
Wow.
And as we were going, a group of quetzal birds started screeching. And I also am a shaman, so I understood that we were being warned about the snake. And he put his hand, just like you told me, he waved his hand over the sky, and the whole jungle turned off like a TV station. Not a sound. No birds, no nothing.
Really?
And he looked up and he said, "Okay, we can pass." So, yeah, the shamanic power is the knowing that you have that ability.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's all connected in a way that one shaman guy I lived with, he had this gift with snakes. He actually explained to me that there's a route that the snakes, about a 1,000-mile route, almost from Canada down to Mexico, or, you know, there's this groove down about 4 feet that snakes travel in, and he went that route all through his summer once, and became one with this snake energy or whatever, and he could handle rattlesnakes, and they were his friends. He could call them. I'm not kidding. I mean, this guy was just he had all kinds of shamanistic gifts, you know, second sight and the works.
It's also very exciting to see how many humans are starting to really connect with wild animals, like the young man who works with lions. Have you seen him with lions? Do you know who I'm talking about?
The young guy?
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he sleeps with lions, he plays with them.
Really?
These gigantic lions, and he has complete contact, complete trust.
Yeah, there's the same magnetism or whatever, but there's a space that's fearless. There is a fearless energy there that is just connected with a good energy that does not offend or otherwise threaten the lions. This same shaman I was talking about, he lived on a preserve up in the St. Lawrence Seaway, which is an island there that was a lion reserve. And he worked with the lions there. He had some interesting stories working with them. You know, but you know, he says that, you know, people would come in and they'd have fear in their aura, and the lions would just act out their fear, you know.
Sure. I mean, and that's a lesson for all of us, because certainly we're being tested now, which is what you and I were beginning to talk about before the show began, that we are faced with every possible scenario of conflict on this planet. And we are being, in my opinion, tested, because it's getting to the point where you either trust or you don't.
Yeah.
And if you're in fear, you just like the lion metaphor, if you start resonating to that fear and projecting it, you're going to draw the lion to you.
That's true. And it's I think as the veil thins, or since the veil has thinned, it's showtime. You know, it's judgment time. In other words, and it's interesting to me how this time of year, you know, I look forward to the Festival of Lights in terms of, call it the Christmas spirit, or, you know, light a candle and darkness disappears, whatever. You know, bringing light to dark places is the way I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing in the world right now, you know, according to Kalman, you know, if the Mayan calendar, and as I understand it, what he's really saying is that the galactic alignment of our solar system right now, there's a surge in the source field or the energy field or the unified field of energy, you know, from the heart of the great central sun to hundreds of billions of star systems in our galaxy, and our Earth is... solar system is orbited up across that plane, and it's in that alignment, and the source field is surging right now, and there's this, call it zero point, or, you know, unity conscience, or you know, there's a thinning of the veil or whatever, but there is awakening to, as they say in the scripture, either eternal contempt or eternal salvation.
Yeah, I just like to talk about the veil thinning with regard to some of the other experiences we had in Egypt.
That would be great. That's a favorite subject of mine.
Okay. My journey, I labeled Egypt by night, because I do my best to get people into the temples at night when there are no tourists. As I believe that that's really the way to get the experience, the initiatic experience that I love to bring people to.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we had a number of remarkable experiences. And then about the fifth night, we went to Hatshepsut's temple, which is very important to me. Have you read my book, Where Pharaohs Dwell?
I did. I think I read that right before our last show. Your experiences in ancient Egypt, you know, having been there before, intrigued me to no end. I thought it was fascinating.
Thank you. Well, then you might remember that I had this powerful remembrance of being in service in the time of Hatshepsut, the queen.
Yes,
so
right.
Going to that temple is always a very emotional and powerful experience to me, especially walking in alone at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And you did that again this time, you say?
Yes. What I did was I went ahead of the group with a private car, and went up to the top of the stairs and set myself up to receive them for a ceremony. And of course, they think Well, now, where's Patricia? We're up at 2 in the morning, and she's not even going to get on the bus. They come to the temple not knowing that I've already set myself up there. And when they walk up the stairs, it is a truly moving experience, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Did you have a candle on your face in the dark?
It would have been good to film what we experienced, but I always ask people not to take pictures when we're entering into ceremony because, of course, you break the energy. And I'm going to have to modify that after what happened there.
Okay.
So once everyone came in, they were pretty excited, needless to say. And I welcomed them, and we looked up. And there was the Orion constellation with the belt, and Sirius, if you follow the line down from Orion's belt, Sirius is lower on the horizon. Uh-huh. And then to the right, there was the Big Dipper, and there was nothing else except the moon. And
really?
These constellations were so bright, and the sky was so clear, it was, even though it was still dark, it was remarkable. And suddenly, I got the sensation that we were in a planetarium. Because the rocks behind the temple were sort of leaning in, and these constellations looked like they were leaning in as if there were some sort of dome, energetic dome around us.
Uh-huh.
And that these constellations were sticking on the sides of this dome, if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So, and it's interesting because last summer in the crop circles, I also experienced this dome sensation, and I do believe that this is the beginning of really being shifting out of the third dimension consciously.
Yeah.
At any rate, I was about to leave them in a meditation, and instead I said, no, lie down on the ground and get comfortable and watch the sky. I said, please come. Please come for these people. Please show yourselves. We've had such a magnificent journey, but we're still waiting for contact. We're still waiting for you. Won't you please show yourselves? And in that precise moment, a craft started flying over the sky. And everybody gasped because we all saw it. 50 people saw it. So a few people were saying, is that a satellite? And this was no satellite. The minute I said, please show yourselves, please, please come, it started do-do-do-do-do-do across the sky. And then at one point it made a 90-degree turn. So that ruled out anything like an airplane or a satellite.
Yeah.
And then it turned again 90 degrees and continued to go do-do-do-do-do-do across the sky, crossing over the moon. It faded because the moon was almost full moon, so it looked like it was gone. And then out it comes after it covers past the moon and started to do a zigzag motion and then disappeared.
Wow.
50 people. And so everybody was pretty excited, and I said, it's not over yet. Poof! Another UFO shows up on the other across the other side of the temple, and does another swirling, zigzag circles. And at one point, a light flashed. It looked like a falling star, but I don't think it was. I think something was flashed out of this craft. So we got something lit up in the sky. And all 50 people saw both events, and almost all 50 people spoke about feeling like they were in some sort of a dome before I even mentioned it.
Well, it was a force field of pure intention.
Yes.
I think it takes a special mandala of people that have a momentum individually of pure intention, but when they come together for a purpose, a sacred purpose like that, and probably many of them have been in that same mandala, perhaps the same mandala maybe thousands of years ago, or you know what I mean? There was like a portal in time. It was like a reunion. And that unity conscience of pure intention, I know thoughts have wings. There is no time or space. And I've been in with mandalas of people, and if not individuals, that completely changed my world. And I think of the one time that I just come back from the mystery school when I was just, 40 years ago. I hitchhiked across country and come back, and I was with my brother, and we went down to a field by the woods, and I just had that knowing, you know, a lot of mystical, you know, connections, and told my brother that we could, you know, call down a UFO, and he goes, well, how do you do that? And I said, well, we've got to get our energy cycling together. So he was a musician, and so I got him dancing around in circles with me, chanting, come on down, come on down, come on down, come on down. And we were just harmonizing, you know, in and out and laughing, and he was just going along, you know, we were just having a fun time. And all of a sudden, he looks up at the tree line and says, Chris, what's that? And then all of a sudden, it was a bright light. I said, it's just a, a star. It just got brighter, 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 brighter. And all of a sudden, it got huge, and it stopped right up over the top of us. He totally freaked out. It was stopped doors, and it had this colors, like these crystals, blue, yellow, pink, or blue, yellow, red, or blue, yellow, green. There was this pattern of color going repeatedly underneath of it. And I said, Bob, Bob, Bob. He says, just, you know, they can do with us whatever they want. Just check out the colors on the pattern. And I tried to him to objectify, get back into an objective consciousness, you know. And he calmed down just for a second, and then it was just like, gone. Apparently, they did a reading on, you know, where our consciousness was at the time, which was pretty nonlinear. And and there's a funny thing: my brother Bobby didn't want to talk about it the next couple of days, and ever since then, it never happened. And the point I wanted to make with all that is, when the UFOs and that whole subject of extraterrestrials, Jung said that the UFO. The graphic of a U is a symbol of the unconscious. And it's fear of the unconscious that keeps its power over us rather than us having conscious control of the unconscious. Mm-hmm. And when there is fearless faith, it neutralizes faithless fear. In other words, it's just that, you know, that same pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for evolutionary ascension into higher dimensions. And when you have that pure intention without any fear, it's just there's a connection there that is really one with the larger order of the universe. Anyway, that was an experience I had many years ago, and since then I've been kind of magnetized to people like yourself that really get it, and I just, you know, love stories like you just shared, yeah. Because it's such an affirmation.
And I love yours. Yeah, it's really time for us to start practicing this, I think, because there's certainly enough talk about contact, and there are people who are waiting for the good ETs to sweep in and fix the boo-boo on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, okay, Jesus or any savior will do, or good ETs, just come and fix it. And yeah. My message is, let us fix it, because it's nobody yep. else's job.
Yeah, so, it's that that writing that used to be in the front of the Whole Earth catalog. It said, we are as gods and might as well get good at it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I really like that. I remember when the Whole Earth Catalog, it was like before the internet, and that was like, you know, Google search with the Whole Earth Catalog in a print format.
Yeah, but, I remember the Whole Earth Catalog.
Yeah, and that was the expression that, you know, really kind of set it. It set the tone. You know, when you know better, you can do better. You know, you can't make your life work to its optimum until you know what you have to work with, and so to take inventory of all the tools and processes, you know, that are available. That was a real kind of a movement revelation that we could own our own lives. And I think that's where civilization's at right now. You know, we have this instant, everywhere, interactive connection, a global village of communication capabilities, and we got this lockstep, left brain, letter of the law, command and control, highly centralized system that is out of step with, you know, biological life processes that are decentralized and interactive and bottom up, you know, grassroots, net roots. And right now it's just got to a point where, you know, there's so much knowledge power on the earth and so much awakening and you know, mass awakening to capability and potential for, you know, a real Christmas as far as Christ mass consciousness awakening to free energy technology, holistic healing breakthroughs, interactive communication capabilities that, you know, would upgrade our horse and buggy legislative systems. And then here comes the Grinch that tries to steal Christmas with, you know, the Patriot Act on steroids with this, you know, National Defense Authorization Act. This last Thursday kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm not living in the States, so I'm only getting
snippets of that. Well, the mainstream media has completely blacked it out.
Well,
it
isn't that a surprise?
Mind. Huh?
surprise! I'm pretty stunned by it, and the fact that it went well. Stunned by pretty much everything that happens in Washington, and that includes Obama appointing a super Congress.
Yeah.
Anybody was paying attention to that? I mean, hello?
Yeah.
Congress? You don't appoint a super Congress if you are, unless you're a dictator, I think. When that happened, I saw the writing on the wall, but they are moving very quickly now. And this latest legislation basically says that they can detain anyone for as long as they want without any justification.
And they can torture and kill them if they so choose, without a court hearing.
Right, and they can't get they also have the right to not allow you to have a lawyer. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like the it's just kind of a progression of the what I call patent unabashed insanity since the Patriot Act, And it's just, and it's understandable. You know, when you think about it, this is the great drama. It doesn't get any better than this. You've got, several thousand years of civilization now that has accelerated exponentially, and now it's all coming out that we can have the abundant life, just extraordinary abundance with free energy technology. You know, this movie Thrive in the United States is huge. Is there getting much coverage of that over in Italy?
Yes.
Thrive, yeah. And that thing with the subject of the way that it's unveiling, that this free energy technology is here now. I mean, it's just being suppressed. In other words, we have right now on Earth extraordinary capabilities for the abundant life for everyone. You know, until Planet X comes. It's just not just free energy technology. It's holistic healing, ultramolecular energy, healing technologies that are just... I got a friend that 20 years ago was a genius. He developed the SIO. That's the energetic ultramolecular healing that can do absent healing because it gets the frequency signatures of the body, and then can actually do the resonance factors with your body that like homeostasis normalizes and balances the energy fields of the body with extraordinary healing, and it can do it once it has your frequency coordinates of your body. It can do it absently, and because it's a quantum device, it can work. He used to have a linear device with a 386 computer, and I worked with that here 20 years ago. But back then, he told me, and I worked with him in clinics, around the United States, and he told me that this guy came out of NASA, and he got into quantum science, 30 years ago, and he told me that he could do like that tricorder they have on Star Trek. They scan over the body and energetically, can do that. Mm-hmm. He understood those principles, and he knew that was coming, and he's very close to that now. He had to leave the States years ago because the feds were after him for healing people with energy.
God forbid. People wet.
And he still does seminars on cruise ships in international waters where they can't give him. But he has a team of Russian programmers over there in Romania, and he's just been cranking out these amazing energy devices that people buy them all over the world, on cruise ships.
What is the name of this device?
Huh?
What is the name of this device?
Well, one of them is called the SCIO, S-C-I-O. And this guy is a friend of mine, and I document a little bit about him on my website. You know, this last article, actually I just sent you a copy of that article, and there's a link in there on the healthcare centers on healthcare where I reference this Dr. Bill Nelson and how he pioneered this technology. And I saw him go through several evolutions of it. From first, it was a 386 computer. It was a $33,000 device, and it had a biofeedback interface, and it had the first time the periodic table of quantum biology was in that interface. The guy that developed this, Dr. Isaacs, John Hopkins University, it's quite a story, but Dr. Nelson called it the Hermitian matrix, but it was the periodic table of quantum biology that could filter the biofeedback in terms of the endocrine system, the digestive systems, and all the systems of the body. This was 20 years ago, and that was a 386 computer, and it had 5,500 homeopathics and nutritionals and vitamins, minerals, aminos, and all these, you know, substances with wires around them and racks of bottles, you know. It had them wired into the circuitry, and it cycled those frequencies into the etheric sheath of the body with sensors, volt damp and galvanic skin response sensors. And the biofeedback sorted it out, turned this different system. It was amazing. And, of course, I was cross-checking it with using iridology, clinical nutrition, oriental face diagnosis, and different stuff that I'd in my former holistic clinics. And I just saw it. This was one of the most amazing, you know, and of course, I got high profile with it with full-page ads in the local paper, and the medical profession just went bananas and organized and put me out of business.
Yeah, well, especially now that they're putting in Codex Alimentarius, which I'm sure you are well aware of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going on worldwide, and this whole thing has been moving on. But, you know, I see it as like it's when I say darkest before the dawn. You know, it's understandable all this would happen. You know, light brings up all in like itself, you know, and there's so much light surging in the, whether you call it the source field or the unified field or the, you know, the quantum field. Mm-hmm. There's awakening, and people are awakening to the options for a golden age on Earth, you know, free energy technology, holistic healing, you know, interactive mass-to-mass communications that would involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. These things are there now. And It's just the dark side's just going bananas again. You know, it's like they're scrambling, their time is short, their wrath is great, they're trying to hold that line on all this nonlinear stuff.
Well, yeah, I think that also it's important for people to start to own their well-being. I think we're moving to a time where we don't have to heal anymore.
Yeah, that's
once
true.
Once you get it, as you discussed earlier, the pure intention, you understand that you very well can maintain your body to be healthy, happy, and balanced, and that the era of healing may be ending. It may be, I feel.
As we've known it.
Yeah, that we're just going to own it. I mean, it's like, I intend to be well now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do everything that's required by that I feel will achieve that goal as far as what I do to my body, where I put my body, what I put into my body.
I believe it. And pure intention is not just the feeling body. It's the spiritual, mental, and physical body. I mean, you know, what we do, and that was that article I just sent out, I think, you might have got a copy of it, I'm not sure, that was about optimal health and the immune system. And there's this thing of, you know, 97.5% of healthcare is self-care. It's what we do with pure intention or not, you know, for ourselves. And, you know, I think that just makes all the difference in the world. If a person has an attitude, and I might call it a beatitude, the beatitude of you know, everything's in divine order, and everyone has free will, you know, and the pure intention to respect another person's free will is basically to honor one's own, you know, and, you know, the fact that we have this great drama, everyone's choices is going on the record, and and all of our choices go on the record of our own body. You know, the body just is a 3D hologram of our thoughts, feelings, emotions, and our spiritual being, you know. kind of amazing. But this is this right now, the quantum field, I think the cosmic law is being unveiled right now, and that we are accountable for every choice that we make, individually and collectively, and we can have a golden age now if we want it.
Right. And, you know, I really think that 2012 is about to begin, and this announces a dramatic time we've all been forecasting and anticipating, some with fear, some with joy.
Yeah.
And it's upon us, and I really do believe that entering into this year, even though it's linear thinking, is a huge, huge, huge breakthrough for humanity. As the darkness, it just becomes almost ridiculous. I mean, not that I'm going to make light of it, but it's almost ridiculous in how fierce they want to be. And I really feel that it's breaking down, and they've got their claws hooked in, trying to hold on.
That's their choice, and it's all our choices as far as our judgment, whether we're going to respond to that as though it's real or just their stuff.
Exactly.
And I think there's a linear and a nonlinear dimension, when I say that, corollary aspects on all four levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. In other words, spiritually, there's a linear a pure intention that you can see in spiritual geometry. There's a form there. Or, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like the geometry of divinity.
Expression of higher consciousness.
That's right. And the nonlinear aspect of that is just pure intention. That's on the spiritual level. On the mental level, you have linear consciousness in terms of left brain logical letter of the law, but you've also got, mentally, you've got, you know, right brain functions which are nonlinear and are Holy Spirit synchronistic, and then are really accessing the mind of God. But it's doing it without trying to control it. It's nonlinear. It just, you know, so and emotionally it's the same thing. You don't think of emotions being linear, but habits are linear. And people's habit patterns emotionally, you know, we are what we feel, we become what we felt. But in the nonlinear sense, there's just basically, again, the retention of love. Like I say, it goes pure intention that focuses attention with love's retention. You've got that nonlinear retention of just that, the being of love, that's not a habit. It's just fully present. And physically, you've got, you know, the linear and nonlinear aspects also. You know, you've got, in a very linear sense, you've got, you know, you might say power. And you've got all the powers of the world that are aligned to maintain control. And then in a nonlinear sense, physically, you got like free energy devices, and everybody can access the power of love, the power of the universe that's surging in the source field. And, you know, when it catches on, we'll all have free energy devices, you know, in our homes or in our cars, and you know, there won't be any meter on it because the abundant life will be the currency of conscience.
Indeed. And, you know, what I'm finding and celebrating is that, unlike other times when we've been near the brink of complete catastrophe, and people have gotten so, so full of fear and despair, this time that is a potential reality, but there is so much anticipation and excitement and vibration of what we're moving into, that people aren't sinking into the despair this time.
A lot more people, and I think it's going exponential, are creating in this unified field energy surge. They're creating a momentum of pure intention, of pure intention. That is, again, and I think in the continuum, the golden age has already happened. And that's the message coming through the source field right now, or that's surging in the unified field of the energy field right now. the quantum field. That's what's surging right now, is that basically there is a pure intention that, you know, we can own our own life. You know, we can, you know, rise up, otherwise fulfill our divine destiny, because it's already happened. Can't think of anything better to do. And, you know, some see things the way they are and say, why? And some of us dream the way it could be and say, why not?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, and another thing that's very exciting about this time is that there are so many discoveries coming out of ancient wisdom all over the planet, because I, as you know, I take sacred journeys. I take people on sacred journeys throughout the year. And all these discoveries are coming forward. As you asked about Egypt, there's definitely been some secret digging out on the plateau.
Yeah.
And there's supposedly a whole city underneath the Sphinx and the pyramids. And
from what I read, they've actually accessed the tunnels, a tunnel complex like a major city. And then they sealed it off to the public, but we don't know what they're doing with it themselves.
Exactly. That's why they built this fence. When my first days in Egypt, I simply walked off the sidewalk or the pavement, if you can call it that, the dusty, let's call it the very old dusty road, and onto the sand, and I walked up to the Sphinx. And now there are gates and doors and everything. It's just a zoo. They keep building more and more blockades to break the energy, and everything is controlled, and of course you have to pay, and that's part of it. But no matter how hard they try to break the energy, they can't. But what they have done is they've built this fence, wall, not a fence, a wall, all around the Giza Plateau, way beyond the pyramids and the Sphinx.
Yeah.
Where I used to go out on a camel and watch the sunrise is now forbidden, and it's all sealed away from the public with these high walls. So they're not just working out in the Giza Plateau that we know is the plateau, which is the pyramids and the Sphinx, but they're all over the place digging. And of course, in Egypt, you don't have to dig very far before you find something else.
Yeah, well, there's, I remember the video I saw in the article about the ground penetrating radar all around the pyramid, and they finding these tunnels, you know, these, well, you know, and just like Casey said, under the paw of the Sphinx, they found an entryway, and then they sealed it off to the public and didn't allow anyone else, so these Europeans, Germans who were doing the ground penetrating radar. And and I was going to ask you about this. Of course, you know, or from your experience, that the real history of the Great Pyramid goes back to, you know, the time of Atlantis, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, Atlantis had 100,000 years of civilization, so it's questionable as to what time reference.
Some people say right after the fall of Atlantis and the last pole shift, back about what Edgar Casey said about, 12,000 years ago?
Yeah, I think that the pyramid is even older than that. In fact, the Hakim, who many of us knew and had the honor to work with, who was one of the indigenous wisdom keepers of the Kemetian wisdom, he and I had many conversations about it, and he said the pyramid and the Sphinx and the Osirian at Abydos are 50,000 years old.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
And yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Another important aspect is that when you see in Egypt, the standard tour will show you a number of different pyramids that fell down, that are bent, that are just really messy. And the standard archaeological story is that the Egyptians kept trying to make them until they finally got it right. But that does not work. The real picture, in my idea, is there was this gigantic pyramid, or these beautiful, perfect pyramids, and the people said, oh, let's make these again.
Yeah, let's imitate
children, and they were going, no, this won't work. That's the way that I perceive it, because they are such monumental, ultimately perfect structures that still stand today. And well, that expert engineers like Chris Dunn have said, we have no technology today to be able to produce the Great Pyramid.
Yeah, and all over the world, there are similar structures like Machu Picchu where the stonework is so precise and so, but nothing, again, compared to the pyramid, the geometry in it, the mathematics, the whole story. But I've often wondered, what Edgar Cayce, and much as I have read about Atlantis and the crystals, that they had, the focus of energy, and of course, the capstone of the pyramid, if it was also a crystal, and what was really going on inside the pyramid, whether it was a giant water pump, or, I've read a lot of different things about what the different functions could have been and how it evolved since, its original purpose, but, the fact of how it was created in the first place, it's like at Machu Picchu. How do you say that, Machu Picchu in Peru?
Machu Picchu.
You know how they moved these giant, 50-ton blocks from across the valley? They hadn't been levitation, And
I think that it's pretty obvious that the story doesn't work that archaeology gives us. And a lot of people, especially people that are like us, let's say alternative thinkers, come to a pretty quick conclusion that one of the most likely ways these buildings were constructed was because priests would unify and they would find the musical vibration that would levitate the stones.
Tibetans had a service like that I read about, and how they did that, with a frequency, and a bunch of monks, there's records of them doing levitation like that. So I'm sure it existed. Pure intention, it's like a force of the source field. It's really, the light side of the force that, that can be used with pure intention. I think that's the only way they can really be accessed. It's the only way it can be accessed honorably. And I think that's, one of the big lessons right now, and that's what I wanted to ask you. What are the lessons from Sirius, as a messenger, the Syrian messages, what would you say the message of the masters or, the creators of the pyramid, what kind of message would they have? What do they have for us right now?
From Sirius?
Yeah.
Back when I channeled the first three books of the Syrian material, they spoke about this time as the desert days. And they kept referring to this, the desert, when you walk through the desert days, this will be your struggle, before you enter the era of light, and hold the lantern in the desert days. And at this desert days, I never really understood how to interpret that. And then suddenly one day I woke up and went, oh my God, the desert days, the attack of the armed forces on every country in the desert, for starters. I mean, the intention is, Jeff Wesley Clark came out and said it. He was told, before we attacked Iraq, that, the plan was to attack every country in the Middle East.
Yep.
He came out on video and said that. And so I realized that this was precision information, not just a rhetorical concept. And they were specifically referring to this time. The desert days. When all the desert countries are in turmoil as our preceding the passage into this higher state of being. So their message is, look at everything around you, understand that this is part of your passage, and that no one is going to fix it for you. So now you either, like you said earlier, you either trust and believe in divine order, or you don't. If you do, you know that you are an immortal being,
and you know that you came here to work on this in some capacity, even if you don't still get exactly what your role is, you came here to be here. So instead of fearing it, start embracing it, start analyzing it, start loving it, and start moving through it. Letting go of fear is the ultimate assignment on planet Earth.
And the desert days to me sounds like, you know, the valley of the shadow of death that we're going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And that there, you know, and it's, and it's like there's, you know, there's dead people, the living dead. And there's ghosts of people that aren't, you know, they're not really there. I mean, and then there's the divine order, and call it spiritual geometry, or you know, the order of the universe, or you know, cosmic law, you know, cosmic love. There's a frame of reference for everything is in divine order. We came in with soul contracts, you know, we're to experience this, and some on some level of, you know, pure intention of our souls. There's a lesson here, and our choices basically are the are just desserts in the desert.
Yeah, I think if you really can embrace the idea that you are a sovereign being, and that you're at the soul level, you knew exactly what you were doing, then the fear goes, because you know that you're immortal, and that this is a passage. And this, at that higher level of consciousness, there is a purpose to going through whatever difficulty you go through. And certainly many of us are very concerned about the state of the world at this time and what's being put into place. And so it's like show and tell time here.
Yeah.
Walk. Are you really? Do you really walk your talk? Do you really trust the universe or not?
Yeah.
And
I think that this theme that you've mentioned of the fearlessness flame, you've really embodied that, you know, all over the world, you know, globetrotting like an Indiana Jones. And I love that about you. And I know that, you know, a lot of us are, you know, armchair heroes, you know, or we want to be armchair heroes. And we want to, you know, identify with this concept. And it's helped me to, you know, find people like yourself and Damien Brinkley, who, you know, has had two extraordinary near-death experiences and went to, you know, higher octaves, so to speak, and comes back. And he's very outspoken about, you know, situations in the world and, you know, the karmic consequences of it, you know. And very outspoken in terms that, you know, people ask him, you know, well, what if they come to kill you for being so outspoken? He says, so what? He just says, I've been dead. It's better than here.
That's right.
He says, what are they going to do? He says, what are they going to do, kill me? He says, it's like, it's better there. You know, and it's not that he didn't have more work to do and felt, you know, responsible to come back, and he's done extraordinary things with his hospices all over the world, you know. But it's just like, you know, I can't think of anything better to do in my own small way, I try to you know, share the message at least. And your message is the kind of message I really appreciate, because a lot of people are ready. They're wanting to know, you know, what options there are to, you know, more light, easier and faster, you know, hold up that candle of pure intention that basically says, you know, here I am, God, universe, use me, you know, and even give us a sign, I think, when it's appropriate.
And another one, a big part of my message is celebrate life now.
Yeah.
Celebrate. Celebrate every flower, celebrate every experience, because even the difficult ones you came here to do. So celebrate all that life gives you, and easily said, stop worrying, but understand that fear, all that fear will accomplish is bring you more things to be afraid of.
Yeah.
So when you get that resonance knowledge and you understand it, you can focus on it if you want, or loss or lack, or you can just say, well, okay, I prefer to resonate with that love vibration and have a good time, because I agree that this life on Earth is challenging. It's troubled sometimes. It's beautiful others. But it's not anything like what we're going to. This is school.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
And people who have been on the other side can tell you. And I've had an experience as well that, you know, I'm looking forward to being there again as briefly as I was, because beautiful, beautiful things are happening there. And my loved ones are there. So yeah. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, in God's time. That's my expression, in God's time, in God's way. And in the meantime, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to have to do a wrap here. I'm going dancing Chico Hot Springs tonight, and looking forward to that, and wanted to thank you for being on the show, Patricia.
Thank you for having me back. Thank you very much.
I am grateful. So keep us posted and keep in touch, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on here before too long. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Patricia?
Oh, yes. Think of me when the clock strikes, the ball drops, and 2001 begins, 2012 begins. And just remember, 2012, we're in it already. And when December 22nd comes, 2012, and we wake up and the world has not come to an end, the huge shift that we're going to feel is going to blow everyone's mind.
Yay, Patricia. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. Bye for now. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new...